Okay, this evening we're looking at a sugya in Hilchot Chanukah, and as I said at the very outset, that we'll take breaks for the Maadim, and every time we have a chag, we'll have a shir or two shirim, whatever, on it. So by the end of the course, we'll have covered quite a lot of relevant topics. This evening I want us to deal with what I would say is the central sugya as far as Chanukah is concerned, and that's the din of Mahadrin and Mahadmin min HaMahadrin. That's some of the background, at least, the starting point of the sugya will be stuff that I imagine is familiar to many of you, but at the same time, I would hope that we'll have some fresh insights as well, and perhaps at least some things that people haven't encountered previously. So I want, as I say, I want to start with the what's really the central sugya in Hilchot Chanukah. There's no Masechet Chanukah. So it's one of these interesting things. Why is there no Masechet Chanukah? A number of answers are given. The Gra suggests that, in actual fact, originally there was a Masechet Chanukah. There were lots of Masechtot Ketanot, many of which have been lost to us. And the Gra suggests that there was a Masechet Chanukah. Others suggest that because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was a descendant of the Beit David, and of course the Chashmonaim took on the Malchut, which they weren't entitled to do so. Various other reasons. Rav Reuven Margoliot, he suggests that perhaps just there are certain things which are so well known, so fundamental, that they don't merit Masechtot in their own right. Masechet, there's no Masechet on Tefillah. That's, there's Masechet to do with Brachot. But, Kriyat Shema and the Amidah by themselves, these mitzvot don't have their own Masechtot. Chanukah also, perhaps, well known that it doesn't have its own Masechet. So most of the dinim of Chanukah come up in the second perek of Masechet Shabbat, perek Bar Mei Madlikin. So this carries on very nicely from last week's shir, which was, of course, on Hadlakat HaNer for Shabbat. So tonight we're looking at Hadlakat HaNer for Chanukah. Tanu Rabbanan. So we have a brighter mitzvah Chanukah, Ner Ish Uveito. So the mitzvah of Chanukah is to light one candle per person, per household. That means that a person, you could have a family, a husband and a wife and six children, and all they need to do is light one candle each night of Chanukah. You don't need to buy boxes of 44, you just buy 8 candles, and that will do you for the whole of Chanukah. For HaMahadrin, if you want to have a Hidur mitzvah, then Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad. Then everybody will light their own candle. I'm using the term candle, of course. Ner means a lamp, and in a classic sense, it'll be an oil lamp. Many people now tend to use candles, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. For Mahadrin min Hamahadrin, that's. And if you want to go to town, Beit Shammai Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona, the first day you light 8, Mikam Ve'elach, Pochet V'Holeich, and then you decrease. Beit Hillel Omrim, and Beit Hillel say, Yom Rishon Madlik Achat, that's the first day you light 1, Mikam Ve'elach, Mosif V'Holeich, and then you add each day. That's some poskim suggest that Chanukah is an acronym for Chet Neirot V'Halacha K'Beit Hillel. That's how we know what the din is. So we start with 1, and we finish off with 8, which is, of course, what we do. Now, Oma Ama Ula, Plige Beitraya Morai B'Marava, Rabbi Yossi Bar Avim, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvita. We've got a machloket as to what the reason is. We've got a machloket about the machloket, essentially. We've got a machloket about what is it that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing about. So Chadama, one view is that Talmud of Beit Shammai keneged yamim hanichnasein, but Talmud of Beit Hillel keneged yamim hayotzein. That Beit Shammai is looking at how many days that remain of Chanukah. That's whereas Beit Hillel look at how many days have gone already of Chanukah. So Beit Shammai on the first night They light eight to Neirot, because there are 8 days still to come. Beit Hillel light one there on the first night, because that's where we are. We're only at the first night. So that's the machloket, whether we're looking forwards-looking or backwards-looking. The Chadama Tama Devet Shamai Kineged Pare Hechag, the Tama Devet Hillel Demalim Bekodesh Ve'im Moridin. The other says, no, it's a totally different machloket. It's to do with, according to Beit Shammai, we're looking, and Beit Hillel, we're looking at other halachic models. That's so Beit Shammai say, well, let's look as a model of Pare Hechag. Pare Hechag, we know, that they decrease over the course of Sukkot. They start off at 13 and they whittle down to 7. Whereas Beit Hillel says, let's look at another halachic model. Another halachic model that we have is Malim Bekodesh Ve'in Moridin. That when it comes to matters of Kedusha, we progress rather than regress. That we advance rather than retreat. So we've got two views as to what the machloket is between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Amar Rabba Baba Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Zekinim Hayu B'Tzidon, there were two elders in Tzidon, Echad Asak Beit Shammai, Ve'echad Asak Divrei Beit Hillel. So one followed Shammai, one followed Hillel. Zeh Notein Tam L'Dvarav Kineged Parei Hechad, one said, the one that was following Beit Shammai, said, we're doing this because we've got another halachic model, the model of Pare Hechag, which decreased numerically. The Zenot Ein Ta'am Nidvarav. And the other one said, the reason why we're following Beit Hillel is, to Malim Bekodesh, for Ein Moridin, we've got this model of increasing as far as Kedusha is concerned, rather than decreasing. And it would seem, from this sugya, if there is enough gemina between the reasons, then, and we'll discuss it as we go through, if there is such enough gemina, but if there is enough gemina between the reasons, then the sugya, the conclusion of the sugya seems to be that the reasons are looking at the other halachic models rather than keneged yamim haniknasin or keneged yamim hayotzin. As a side point, I think it's worth asking the question, why is it that very rarely we find built into the mechanics of the mitzvah, this concept of Mahadrin and Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. Meaning that, generally speaking, we've got a concept of Hidur mitzvah, Zeke Livan Vehu. But that's something which is superimposed upon every other mitzvah that we have. It doesn't mean I've got a mitzvah of Talit, that's a mitzvah of Tzitzit, and then I take the mitzvah of Zeke Livan Vehu, and Hidur Mitzvah, and I superimpose that on Talit to say that the Talit that I have needs to be a Talit Na. I've got, a Mitzvah of Sukkah, so I fulfill the Mitzvah of Sukkah, and I superimpose upon it the din of Zeke Livan Vehu Hidur Mitzvah, and I fulfill it that way. Here, within the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah itself, we seem to have a concept of Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. Nobody's saying that, okay, you've got a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and then, okay, Hidur mitzvah, so use nice oil, or use nice candles, whatever it is. That's, don't use Yahrzeit candles for your Chanukah candles. Use scented candles. Ichveis as your Chanukah candle. That would be superimposing the notion of Hidur Mitzvah onto the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. What we see here is it's built into the Mitzvah, which doesn't appear in any other Mitzvah. The only other Mitzvah where perhaps it's built in is perhaps the Mitzvah of Etrog and Arba Minim, because there it's Priates Hadar. So it's specifically mentioned. But, nowhere, we don't see in the mitzvah of tzitzit that we're told, you should make tzitzit like this, and if you want to be Mahadrin, then you make it that way, and if you want to be Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, you make it in a different way. So the Beit HaLevi suggests that, in actual fact, the reason why we have Mahadrin and Mahadrin min HaMahadrin is because that existed in the very essence of the Nes HaChanukah. In terms of with the Chanukah miracle, that's what they could have done. Indeed, what they did, and this is links into the famous question of the Beit Yosef. Why we have 8 days rather than just 7 days, etc. So the Beit HaLevi suggests that in actual fact, what they did, they only had enough oil for 1 day. They knew they were going to have to wait for 8 days. So it would be irresponsible of them to use up all the oil on the first day. On the other hand, they can't just use an eighth of the oil each day, because that's it's going to, you're not fulfilling mitzvah any day that way. Oh, so what did they do? They were clever. That's obviously they were clever, but they're particularly clever, and they used wicks that were 1/8 as thick as they usually were. So if you use a wick, which is 1/8 as thick as usual, it'll only burn 1/8 of the oil. So it'll have a smaller flame, of course, but it'll burn less oil. So they used wicks, which were 1/8 of the regular thickness, and therefore, in any event, the oil was going to last for 8 days. That's, you know, if you burn it very slowly, it'll last for as long as you want. That's, however, the miracle was that it burnt strongly. As it had that hiddur mitzvah when it burnt in the times of the Chashmonaim. So to commemorate that hiddur mitzvah, we have built into the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, hiddur mitzvah. In any event, that if it's not directly, maybe hold on to questions, that's because we might answer them as we go along. This is how I want to try and introduce in general, try and hold on to questions if possible, that's because I hope to be able to answer many of them as we go through. That's so we usually follow Beit Hillel, then we have Machloket, almost always follow Beit Hillel, we have Machloket, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. So we light Kamahadrim in Hamahadrin, we start off with one and we build up to eight. Now we've got a very important Machloket between the Tosafot and the Rambam as to how to understand this notion of Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Hamahadrin. Let's look at the Tosafot. So Tosfot says, Nira Luri, the Beit Shammai Veitila Lokaime, Ella Aner Ishu Veito. This whole machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only referring to the ikadin of Ner Ishu Veito. That in every household you light one candle on each night. Sheken Yishoter Hidur, because if you've got a greater Hidur, if you increase the numbers each night, because when you then add candles or subtract candles, that it's more recognizable what you're doing, that it's corresponding to the days which are coming or the days that have passed. But if everybody in the family is lighting their own ner, afilu yosef mikan ve'elach, even if you add candles on each night, leke hekera, then there's no heker. It's not clear exactly what you're doing. She is baru, because people will think, shekach yesh b'nei adam b'bayit. That's the number of people you've got in the home. Meaning that according to Tosfot, this is the way it works. The basic mitzvah, basic level of the mitzvah, is neri shuvetor. One candle per family, per night. Now, if you're mahadrin, that's then you'll decide, you know what, we're going to light, everybody in the family is going to light a candle each night, or we'll have a candle per person each night. If you're Mahadrin min Hamahadrin, then you'll say, you know what, no, we're not going to involve everybody, we're not going to have a candle for every member of the family. Instead, what we'll do is, we'll, on the first night, we'll light one candle, on the second night, we'll light two, on the third, we'll light three, on the eighth night, we'll light eight. And that's how you'll do it. Now, the reason why you might choose to be Mahadrin min Hamahadrin over Mahadrin, that would be obvious, because one likes to do things in the very best way. Why then would one choose just to be Mahadrin? So either because, a person might say, oh, you know, I'm not a Mahadrin min Hamahadrin type. You know, I'm a Poshita Yid, I'm Mahadrin, but I'm not Mahadrin min Hamahadrin. Alternatively, of course, it could be for economic reasons. So let's say you've got three members of the family. So you say to yourself, okay, you know what? Each night, each of us will light one candle. So we're lighting three candles per night. We've got eight nights. That's 24 candles. If you wanted to be Mahadrim in Hamahadrin, you need to use 44 candles. Or actually 36. That's take the Shamash out of the equation. You need to use 36 candles. So, you know, nowadays, you know, you can buy a box of Hanukkah candles for £1.05. If you buy them next week, they'll be 55 pence. That's it's not an expensive undertaking. But in classical times, you know, poor people, it could have been an expensive undertaking for them. So not everybody would have been able to afford being Mahadrin min Hamahadrin. So some people would have settled for being min Hamahadrin, especially if there's only two of you. That's you're lighter. It'll be 16 candles instead of 36. That could be quite a significant economic saving. So, according to the Tosfot, you've really got three choices of what to do. Either you're the basic level, you light one candle per household per night, or your Mahadrin, one candle per person per night, or your Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin, you take one Chanukiah, and on the first night you light one candle, on the eighth night you light eight candles. That's the way Tosfot understands it. The Rambam understands it differently. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kama neirot hu madlik b'chanukah, mitzvah tashyeh kol bayit hu bayit madlik ner echad. So the mitzvah is every home lights one lamp. Bein shayu anshei habayit merubim, bein shalo hayu boel adam echad. Whether it's a large family or a small family. V'hamahader et ha-mitzvah. Now if you want to be part of the Mahadrin, madlik neirot k'minyan anshei habayit. So you light according to the number of people in the home. Ner l'kol echad v'echad. Bein anashim, bein nashim. One lamp per person. That's men, women, etc. V'hamahader yeter al zeh. And if you want to be Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin, v'oseh mitzvah min ha-Muvchar, madlik ner l'kol echad v'echad ba'layla rishon. So on the first night, you light one candle for every person. V'mosif olech b'chol layla v'layla ner echad. And then each subsequent night, you light a further candle. Kate said, so how will that work? Haresha yuan shall buy it asara. If you've got 10 members of the family, balaila harishon madlik asara neirot. First night you light 10 candles. Uvelel sheni esrim. The second night you light 20. Uvelel sheni shlishi shloshim. Third night you light 30. Ad shenim sam madlik velel shmini shmonim neirot. And on the eighth night, you're lighting 80 candles. That's, now, there are a number of questions here. One of which is, why does the Rambam have to, in Halacha Bet, tell us this Ketzad? You know, he's told us at the end of Halacha Aleph. All right, so first night you light one for everybody, and then Mosif Olech, B'chol Laila V'Laila, Nerechad, you add a candle every night. So the answer to that question is that I might have thought I've got 10 members of the family, so the first night I light 10 candles. I might have thought the second night I light 11, third night I light 12. So the answer is that no, according to the Rambam, each night of the festival I light, that's an extra candle for each person in the family. Now Tosfot doesn't like the way that the Rambam's learning it. That's, he doesn't like this tradition, he's rejected it. Why? Because the Tosfot holds that there's no heker here. In terms of if we say that we're interested in Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim or Keneged Yamim HaYotzim, so on the first night I light 8 candles, I light 10 candles, on the second night I'm lighting 20 candles. Well, that doesn't tell me anything about what night of Hanukkah it is. It could be the second night of Hanukkah and I've got 10 members of the family. It could be the fourth night of Hanukkah and I've got 5 members of the family. It could be the fifth night of Hanukkah and I've got 4 members of the family. It could be the tenth night of Hanukkah and I've got 2 members of the family. That's, and nobody told me to stop. So that's the problem. I lose the heker. So the Rambam doesn't seem to be terribly concerned about the heker. The Rambam is concerned with mosif aholeik, that's just adding candles, whereas Tosfos is very concerned about the heker, and therefore the best way of doing the mitzvah, according to the Tosfot, is that I should be able, an onlooker should be able to look into the window and look outside the door on each night of Hanukkah and immediately recognize which night of the festival it is. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's fine to see a grotto. The other thing which is particularly interesting in the Rambam, and we'll tease this through in a moment, but according to the Rambam, it seems that even according to the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, who is it that lights the Hanukkah candles? Seems to be the Balabayit. According to the Rambam, it seems that if I've got, there are 10 members of my family, me and my wife and 8 children, right? So on the first night, I light 10 candles. On the second night, I light 20 candles. On the third night, I light all the candles. My family just stand around and watch and play dreidel. That's, they don't light the candles. So we'll tease that through in a moment. Okay, I kept stopping you, so let's take a question.
Two questions on the Gemara. One is, understand what Pareach
HaChag
is.
Pareach HaChag, that's the bullock offerings on Sukkot.
The bull offerings on Sukkot. Alright, so that went down. Wait. My second question is that the first reason of the Gemara is more of a description than a reason. You know, if you say, if I'm going to write like 1, 2, 3, 4, then by definition, I'm lighting the number of candles that are the number of days that have gone. So to say that the reason that you light 1 to 8 is because of Yamim HaYotzi'im, it's just a description.
No, not at all. Because why am I doing it that way? There's lots of other ways I could do it. We could say every night I've got to light 8 candles. Or every night I just light 1. Or I should start with 8 and go down to 1. It's what's motivating them to say I start with 1 and move up to 8. It's not a description. Description would be, it's just that the Torah said, you know, that light it in this way. But this is a takana of Chazal to do it in this way. And Beit Hillel said, no, the way we should do it is start from 1 to 8. Why is Beit Hillel saying that? It's not a description, it's a motivating factor. It's the reason for Beit Hillel.
The last question is that Rambam could have just added the words lekol echad to end of halacha aleph and not bottom halacha bet. So I understand why you think 10, 11, 12, because he hasn't written Ner Echad Lekol Echad.
I don't know. Okay. We can log that question. Okay. Log that question. Let's look in the Shulchan Aruch and see how we paskin. Kama Neirot Madlik. So how do we light? B'layla Rishon Madlik Echad Mikan Ve'ilach Mosif V'Holeich Echad B'chol Layla Ad She'Bilel HaAcharon Yiyu Shmone V'Afilim Rabim B'nei HaBayit Lo Yadliku Yoter. So the Shulchan Aruch. First, the most interesting thing, I think, in the Shulchan Aruch is the omission. The Shulchan Aruch just starts with Mahadrim min HaMahadrim. The Shulchan Aruch is making no mention of lighting Ner Echad. That the Achronim talk about it. That, you know, what, you know, person Ani Shoel al HaPetach, and Katan Sheki al Chinuch, and such things. You know, those are a person who's stuck in the middle of nowhere and he's only got one candle. You know, so you can be Yotzei with that. But it's kind of interesting that the Shulchan Aruch's starting point is that everybody should be Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. That's not usually the case. So that omission is of interest. So what's the Shulchan Aruch saying? The Shulchan Aruch is saying, the first night you light one candle, and then you increase, till on the eighth night you've got 8, even if you've got Rabim B'nei HaBayit, a large family, Lo Yadliku Yoter, you don't light anymore. That's, the Ramah says, V'yeshomrim, the Kol Echad B'nei HaBayit Yadlik. Then those who say that every member of the family should light, the Chayin Aminag Pashut, and that seems to be the straightforward minhag. That's Vizarili Tenkol Echad Ve'Echad Neirotav Makom Yuchad. Everybody should place their Neirot in a designated place. Kadesha Yeheke Kama Neirot Madlikin. So it's clear how many lamps are being lit. Now, this is very interesting on a number of points. The first point is to bring to your attention, is that what the Taz says. The Taz says that this is a somewhat unique occurrence, so somewhat unique state of affairs, because what we have is that the Mechaber is paskening like the Tosfot, and the Rama is paskening like the Rambam. And that is, of course, unusual. We would usually expect things to be exactly the other way round. But in this instance, it's not the other way round, and it's—I won't say it's the wrong way round, but it's not the way round that we would have expected. I'll touch on that in just a moment. The Taz says, So people who have a better bekiyus in Shulchan Aruch than I do have pointed out, it's not the only case. Occasionally you do find this, but it's certainly unusual. Generally speaking, that's the Mechaber prefers to Paskin like the Rambam, and the Ramab would prefer to Paskin like Rishonei Ashkenaz, like the Tosafot. Now, David's correctly pointed out, I haven't brought the full Rambam here, the Rambam says that Minhaga and Sheirenu is to do like the Tosfot, but he doesn't like it. The Rambam says he doesn't like that Minhag. That's observation number one, that the Mechaber is certainly paskening like the Tosfot. The question really is the Rama paskening like the Rambam? Now, the notes in the Rama, which were not written by the Rama himself, but put in by some printer or something of that nature, says, V'yesharim d'kol echad b'bnei habayit yadlik, Rambam. Now, of course, that's not quite the Rambam, because as we saw in the Rambam, in actual fact, it's the balabayit is madlik, corresponding to the number of people in the family. But it's not that everybody in the family lights. So this seems to be something of a variation on the Rambam. The second, or the third point to flag up, is then the conclusion of the Rama, which is Vizaru Lutein Kol Echad Ve'Echad Neirotav Ba'akom Miuchad, Kedei She'yeheke Kama Neirot Madlikin. So this seems to be really to try and incorporate the concerns of the Tosafot. Because the Balei HaTosafot said that we don't want to have candles corresponding to all the members of the family, because then you'll lose out on Keneged Hayamim Nechnasim, Keneged Hayamim Hayotzim. You won't know. You see 20 candles in the window, you've got no idea which day of Hanukkah it is. So therefore the Rama says, well, we can address that. We can address it by, in actual fact, every member of the family puts their candles somewhere else, and then it becomes clear which day of Hanukkah it is. So really the Shita of the Rambam, the Shita of the Rama seems to be not simply to say that the Rama is following the Rambam, but to say that the Rama is incorporating the concerns of both the Rambam and the Tosfot. Meaning that candles for every member of the family, but to incorporate the concerns of the Tosfot by placing everybody's candles in different places. Now, I think the Sfardim around the table will correct me if I'm wrong. I think the essential Sfardi Minhag is that only one Chanukiah per family, whereas the essential Ashkenazi Minhag is every member of the family lights their own Chanukiah, with some reservations about both of those practices. The reservation about the Sfardi practice, I've spoken on occasion to a number of Sfardi friends, and they say that, they like to keep Sfardi Minhagim, but the children just won't stand for it. You know, the children, especially they go to Ashkenazi schools, everybody's taught the brachot, and you make Chanukiot at school, and you bring home your Chanukiah, and then you find, you know, the kids find that they can't use it, and such things, and, you know, we all know that for kids, one of the highlights of Hanukkah is they get to play with fire, and so everybody gets a chance to light their candles and everything, and poor Sephardi kids are outdone from that pleasure. And some have told me that, you know, even though they're makpid to eat kitniot and Pesach and all such Sephardi practices, they generally follow Sephardi practice, this they've lost out on. And I have to say, I don't think in terms of, you know, chinuch at home, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, in the sense that, as much as we can make mitzvah observance exciting for our children, that's even if it's the expense sometimes of becoming Ashkenazified, I don't think it's the most terrible thing in the world. Having said that, some years ago I wrote an article for Daf HaShavua, and I made notice of the fact that Sephardi practice is that just one Chanukiah per household, Ashkenazi, each member lights their own. And I had somebody write me a very irate letter about me trying to tell them what they ought to be doing in their own homes, which sort of to some degree is, I suppose, the responsibility of a rabbi. But that's and there's plenty of Ashkenazim where they don't light. They don't all light a Chanukiah. Now we'll actually see. The Aruch HaShulchan says that that's the minhag, actually, just to light one per family. I tried speaking to people, older people who grew up from, 70, 80 years ago, that's to find out, what people who came from good Hamish homes 70, 80 years ago did. That's, nowadays it's, candles aren't expensive, but maybe pre-war they were more expensive. Nice Hanukkah was more expensive. I don't know. So I got different reports from people. Some said, they grew up very Hamish background. Every member of the family lit. Others said, no, they grew up very Hamish background and only one person lit. Now,
do you know if anyone does, according to the Rambam, as you've read in the Bible?
No, though. I don't, though. I try and incorporate it in my own practice in a certain sense. What we're going to go on to discuss shortly is going to be the question of that. Certainly, if according to the Rambam, the mitzvah is that the balabayit lights all the candles, how is it that the other members of the family all light their own and say a bracha? How can it be that they're saying a bracha on doing half of my mitzvah? So we'll see that discussion. But certainly the Achronim say that every member of the family that lights says a bracha as well. So what I do at home is actually I light first and have in mind that my bracha is going also on the other candles that are going to be lit, and the other members of the family are lighting, as it were, on my behalf, even though they're saying their own bracha. But I make sure I try not to be mafsik b'dibur between my lighting and the end of the lighting. When my kids were very little, I hummed and hawed about whether I should light, before they were old enough to light themselves, whether I should light Chanukiah on their behalf. I didn't. I wanted to, but I couldn't bring myself to do that.
Can you just have one bracha and then everyone will light? Point
people to light. That would certainly be possible. It's not the minhag. The minhag is everybody says their own. It's an interesting question. Why don't we say, Barov HaMadrat Melech, even if everybody's lighting, even if you've got two balabatim in the same house, two families eating off their own food, so they each have to light their own Chanukiah, why don't you have one person say the bracha, and then both light. Barov HaMadrat Melech. So that's one of the interesting questions. With some mitzvot we do that, and some mitzvot we don't do that. That's, generally mitzvot that we do in shul, not always, some mitzvot that we do in shul, we say Barov HaMadrat Melech, Tkiat Shofar. One person says the bracha on Shofar, and everybody says Amen. You could have everybody say the bracha on Shofar together, and then blow the Shofar. Hallel. That's everybody says their own bracha. That's Sfirat HaOmer, everybody says their own bracha. That's Nitzidat Lulav, everybody says their own bracha. That's Megillah, the Baal Kriya says one bracha, and everybody says Amen. Yom Tov Midin Shomer Ka'oneh. It's like kind of interesting why there's some things and there's a certain amount of inconsistency. So I would have thought there would have been certain advantages. You could tick all your boxes this way by the balabayit saying the bracha and everybody lighting. And therefore they're saying Amen. They're either lighting as part of his mitzvah or they're lighting as their own mitzvah. We'll discuss that a little bit further on.
Is there a view, if not the Rambam, the Yesh Omrim of the Ramah, which Rosh Hashanah is, or is it
Rambam?
No, if it's not Rambam.
It's not. It seems to be a variation on the Rambam. That's the point. It's that the Rambam says the balabait lights all of the candles. In terms of the Rambam understands the sugya. Mitzvah Ishuvator, and then the Ish, he can extend it in various ways, Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Minhamahadrin. So we're going to look at that in just a little bit. Before that, I want to touch on some points in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is trying to get his head round what the machloket, what the real machloket is between the Rambam and the Tosfot. And we're not going to go through all this Aruch HaShulchan inside, but we're just going to flag up a few points that that he makes. That in the sense, it seems that the Tosfot is very concerned with the notion of Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim, Keneged Yamim HaYotzim. On the other hand, the Rambam doesn't seem to be bothered by that. So the question is, why is the Rambam not bothered by that? So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that the machloket between the Rambam and the Tosfot reflects the machloket in the Gemara between the Trei Amorai b'Ma'arava. In terms of what's the reason for Beit Hillel? Why does Beit Hillel say you start with one and you increase to eight? So Tosfot thinks Beit Hillel's reason is Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim, Keneged Yamim HaYotzim. You need to know which night of Chanukah it is. And therefore, if everybody in the family, you light candles for everybody in the family, you're going to lose that. However, the Rambam says, what's Beit Hillel's reason? Malim B'Kodesh Ve'im Moridin. We're not interested in Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim, Keneged Yamim HaYotzim. We don't care if a person can look at the candles and know which day it is. If he can, you know, it's nice, but it's not terribly important. In terms of our main concern is one of Malim B'Kodesh Ve'im Moridin. So long as you're increasing the number of candles that you've got each night, then that's great. And we're less worried about about the other concerns of recognizing the number of candles. Now he goes even further. The Aruch HaShulchan goes even further and says, in actual fact, the Rambam and the Tosfot are not even arguing about that. They are, but they're not. Meaning, they both hold with both reasons, because both reasons appear in the Gemara. And it's true that the Gemara finishes off with Shnei Zekinim Shayu but Sidon, and they seem to be following the notion of Keneged Parei HaChag or Malim B'Kodesh Ve'im Moridin. In actual fact, both explanations are valid explanations. And the Aruch HaShulchan says we're looking at different realities. He suggests that according to the Tosfot, he's addressing a situation where you're lighting al petach beito, that's where you're lighting outside. Now, when you're lighting outside, where are you supposed to put the menorah? Tefach hasamuch lepetach, within a tefach of the doorway on the left-hand side. So you haven't got a lot of space there to spread out your candles. So therefore, you've really only got space for one menorah, one set of candles. So that's why Tosfot says, you know, we'll do it that way. Whereas the Rambam is talking about where you're lighting inside. If you're lighting inside Al HaShulchan, so in that case, then the heker doesn't matter any longer because there aren't people walking past to see which night of Chanukah it is. There's no, you're not communicating any message with your number of candles, and therefore that you may as well light 80 candles on the eighth night. That's because in any event there's nobody to see the candles, so therefore it doesn't matter. He says the Rambam would agree or might agree that if you're lighting outside and there's only room for one menorah, so you would only light one. You would do like Tosfot saying. And Tosfot would agree that if you're lighting inside, you would do it this way. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. And that's why the Aruch HaShulchan says, nowadays, even though we light inside, he says, where do you place the menorah? And this is perhaps a discussion for next year or the year after. Another question, where you put the menorah? And why is it that nowadays we tend to put the menorah inside, even though it's not Shata HaSakana? Why do we light inside? That's, but even if you're lighting inside, so the Gemara says, Shata HaSakana Menichal Shulchano V'dayo, you put it just on the dining room table, but many people still put it inside, in the doorway of the main room, so you've got the mezuzah on one side, and the Chanukah on the other side. The Aruch HaShulchan says that's the Minhag, and therefore you only light one Chanukiah. So that fits it all in very, very nicely. We now understand that what the Nekudat HaMachloket is, what the essence is of the Machloket between the Rambam and the Tosfot, and what's motivating each of them to say what they're saying. I've only got two questions on this interpretation. That's my two questions are that, number one, I would have thought, without great insight or knowledge, so I'm being a bit balabatish, that I thought it was more likely that the Rambam was lighting outside and the Tosfot was lighting inside. In terms of Rishonei Ashkenaz in Christian countries, didn't always have such a nice time. Whereas Rishonei Sfarad, it was much more liberal. They had much more opportunity. There's much less persecution. Particularly as the Tosfot says, and this we'll discuss, we definitely believe later, we'll discuss another time, that what time you light the Ner Chanukah. Tosfot makes the observation in same perek in Perek Bamei Madlikin, that nowadays we light inside, and therefore you don't have to worry about the concern of Asher Tichle Regem and Ashuk, because we're not worried about the people outside. So that would be a proof that Tosfot was lighting inside. That's because of Shata Sakana. So that's my first question. My second question is, even Bon Aniach, that Tosfot was lighting outside and the Rambam was lighting inside, by the time it got to the Shulchan Aruch, that almost certainly the Rama was lighting inside and the Machabe was lighting outside. That part of the Aruch HaShulchan is challenging. The first part of the Aruch HaShulchan will work fine to say that according to the Tosfot, the main consideration is Keneged Yamim HaNichnas and Keneged Yamim HaYotzim, whereas according to the Rambam, the main consideration is Malim B'Kodesh, and then you've got the Rama who's simply combining the two, saying that actually there's a way that we can follow both the Rambam and the Tosfot, which is light candles for each member of the family, but put them in different places, and then you've ticked all your boxes. Now, as I said, I'm perplexed by our minhag, which doesn't seem to be like the Rambam, because the Rambam is saying that one person lights for everybody, and the Rama has introduced this notion of each person lighting their own set of neirot. What's going on here in terms of how is it that if it's my mitzvah as the balabayit, to light all the matzu mahadrin min hamahadrin and to light all the candles, then what's going on here that the other people are coming along and saying a bracha on what I'm lighting? So I want to bring three achronim who address the question and give answers which don't necessarily answer all of my questions. Let's start with a tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says as follows: Aldat sheilato b'mishe liknei Chanukah b'leil chet, eighth night Chanukah, v'shachach levarech alad lakata. He's so excited, can use his whole Chanukia. He forgot to say the bracha. V'rak kodim shidlik kulan niskad adon lo berek. He's halfway through lighting. He realizes, oh, he didn't say the bracha. Im yesh lo levarech olo. Can he still say the bracha or not? Now, what's the question? The question is, because if the mitzvah is ner ishuvator, let's imagine he's living by himself. He's by himself. So there's no other members of the family. But ner ishuvator, the mitzvah is he only needs to light one candle. Once he lit one candle, okay, he's been yotzei the mitzvah. Somebody texted me a question yesterday. It was somebody from this chabura, but don't put your hand up. That you can if you want. That say that I don't know what context the person was in. They wanted to know, seeing as the first candle is really all you need to light, that so could they allow a goy to light the other candles? I guess maybe they had some non-Jewish neighbors with them or whatever it was, and they wanted, make a Hanukkah party, they're lighting Hanukkah candles. I suppose they'll be invited next week to light the tree, etc. So could they get the goy to light the Hanukkah, one of the Hanukkah candles for them? Seeing as the first mitzvah is the Ikar mitzvah. So besides the fact that, according to the Grites, that the last mitzvah, which is the Ikar mitzvah, but, the point is his point was you only need to light one candle. So all the rest you don't really need to light. The answer I said was no, because they're still part of the mitzvah. Whether you need to light them or not need to light them, you're lighting them as part of the mitzvah. So here our question is, You've essentially fulfilled the mitzvah. If you were now to, person was now to drop dead, Chalila, after lighting the first Ner Chanukah. He's got seven more there on his Chanukiah. Gets up to Shamayim. Right, they're ticking his boxes. Okay, he did mitzvah of Ner Chanukah on the eighth night of Chanukah. Not Kamahadrin min Hamahadrin, but he did the best that he could. So that's the question. Seeing as I've really done the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, right, can I say a bracha on the Hidur mitzvah? That's the question that he's asking. So as far as Shas HaNisim and Shech Yanu is concerned on first night, after he's lit the candle, he's finished the mitzvah, so on the first night, he lit his one candle, I didn't say the bracha, so certainly the brachot of Shas HaNisim and Shech Yanu, he can say, it's no different from the din of Roeh. Right, again, this, I hope we'll have a shir on this another time. There's so many lovely sugyas in Hilchot Chanukah. That's the dinner. What if that's, you're not at home the whole night. You're on night shift somewhere. You're a policeman tramping the streets on night shift. You don't get home to light Ner Chanukah. Your wife lights Ner Chanukah for you. That's, and your route takes you past the Jewish house and there's candles in the window. So you say the brachot, it's a machloket, but the maisa, you say the bracha of Shas HaNisim. And if it's the first night, you say the bracha of Shech Yanu. So that here, also, this is no worse than seeing somebody else, you're seeing your own candles, so you can definitely say those brachot. So you can certainly say those brachot. We want to know, however, what about the birkat lahadlik? So skip a couple of lines. Once you've lit the first candle, you're done and dusted. Or done. You're not dusted. You're not dusted till you've lit them all. But you're done. You've fulfilled the mitzvah. It's just hidur mitzvah now. You don't say bracha on hidur mitzvah. Hold on a minute. He's saying, you don't remember till you're halfway through lighting. You can't say a bracha because you don't say a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah. There's no bracha on Hidur Mitzvah. He says, hold on a minute. We have all the members of the family light and everybody says a bracha. That's basically why I don't want to stop the members of my family saying a bracha. You know, all the Achronim say everybody says a bracha, right? Isn't that a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah? Nerish Veitor. Mahadrin ne l'kol echad ve'echad. So when everybody lights their own, that's Hidur Mitzvah. They're saying a bracha. So it seems that you do say a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah. So he says, you can't say that. After Mindina ner ishecha uveito ve'inach b'chlal ha-mahadrim, za'eino, that's not true. D'sha'ani ha-ta'am, it's different there. Kevan dirtsono liot me ha-mahadrin, seeing as the other members of the family want to be min ha-mahadrin, and this is clearly going the Rama's learning of the sugya rather than the Rambam's learning it. Kavanato shelo latzeit b'shel ze ha-madlik. Then everybody else in the family has got in mind not to be yotzei with my hadlaka, umimela michiyuv l'dina, and therefore they've got a chiyuv min hadin, meaning that when I light candles. Right? I like what I'm going to light one Chanukiah for the whole family. Everybody's yotzei with that. Now, if they want to be Mahadrin, and that's fine. That's fine. That's kosher. However, if they want to be Min HaMahadrin, then they'll say, you know what? I could be yotzei with you doing the mitzvah on my behalf. And in actual fact, they don't even need to be around while I'm doing it. But they want to be Min HaMahadrin, so they want to do it themselves. Why should they be so meich on me doing it? So therefore, their implicit kavana is, I'm not going to be part of his mitzvah, I'm disassociating myself, and I'm going to do it myself. It's almost like Friday night kiddush, right? I'm going to make kiddush on behalf of everybody, right? Person might say, I want to make kiddush for myself. So I'm going to not be yotzei with the kiddush that the balabait's making. Slightly different mechanism. Because when I make kiddush on behalf of everybody, it's really that everybody's making kiddush themselves, just midin shomer ka'oneh. It's a slightly different mechanism, but the point is, a person can say, I don't want to be Yotze with his Kiddush, I want to make my own Kiddush myself. And you go to the question, we didn't really discuss it in the shiur that we had on Kiddush, but we could have discussed the question, you know, Rovav Hadrat Melech on the one hand versus Mitzvah Bo Yotem Mibishlucho on the other hand, and whether or not Yishomea Ka'one is a din in Shaliach, which it probably isn't. So it's just it's as if you're saying it yourself. But you can do that. So here also in Ner Chanukah, in Kiddush, there's no Hiddur to do that. There's no Hiddur to say, I want to make my own Kiddush. However, in Ner Chanukah, there is a Hiddur to say, I don't want to be part of his mitzvah, and I want to do it as my own mitzvah. So therefore, and this is where you, in terms of the Ramah, where he says that every member of the family lights their own Chanukiah, is clearly a somewhat different shita to the Rambam, where the Rambam said the Baal HaBayit lit for everybody. Right? Because, sorry?
That's the source of the Hiddur mitzvah of the Rambam.
What is? I don't know if it's really the source is the Rambam. Maybe it's his own learning of the sugya. And in terms of, or maybe other Rishonim that he was aware of. But it's certainly different. Even if the source is the Rambam, he's developed it, you know, to lead to a different conclusion. Because the way the Rambam understood it is that I'm the Baal HaBayit. And this is the way Tosfot understood it as well. I'm the Baal HaBayit. I decide I want to be Mahadrin. I light a candle for everybody in the family. And if I want to be Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, I'll light Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim. And my family are not really involved in that at all. They've been Yotze with what I've done. And I decided to be Mahadrin and Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. According to the way that Rabbi Akiva Eiger is learning the Rama, in terms of, as the Baal HaBayit, I'm never Mahadrin. I might be Mahadrin min HaMahadrin because I like Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim. But that Kiyum of Mahadrin, I never fulfill. So it's kind of interesting how I can be Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, but not Mahadrin. That's, I miss out the Mahadrin. Because the Mahadrin is only where everybody else comes in, jumps in and does the mitzvah themselves. So I'm kind of fine because I can be Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. That's wonderful. But I never have any Kiyum in the Mahadrin. The Mahadrin and HaMahadrin is when the other members of the family turn to me and say, Abba, I don't want to be part of your mitzvah. I want to do it myself. I want to disassociate myself from you in terms of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Not in terms of pocket money or Chanukah gelt. But I want to disassociate myself from you, and I want to do the mitzvah myself as Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. So that's the way Rabbi Akiva Eiger learns it. Now let's look at the Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet learns it differently. Sfat Emet says as follows: V'yesh la'ayin in ha'mitzvah nerecha b'vayit, k'mon mezuzah k'mon nesh shabbat, z'chol she'edlik l'shem shabbat, af she'edlik mi shehiyeh, dai. Now it might be that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is like the mitzvah of Ner Shabbat, the mitzvah of mezuzah, meaning every house needs one. You need a Ner Chanukah in the house. And once you've done it, you've been yotzei. You need a mezuzah on the doorway to the house, the door's in the house. Right? Once I've put up a mezuzah, everybody who's in the house is yotzei with it. It works fine. And if somebody else puts up the mezuzah, then I'm yotzei with it. You know, just so long as the house has got a mezuzah, nobody's ever suggested there are 10 people in the house, you have to have 10 mezuzot on every door. Be expensive. And wrong. Which is the more important reason. So it might be you've got two families living in one house. In actual fact, you just need one Ner Chanukah. It's the house as a cheftza that needs the Ner Chanukah. So why is it if you're a guest in somebody's house, you have to buy into their Ner Chanukah? He's going to suggest maybe you don't really. You want to be, you know, you want to be contributing towards the mitzvah. You should be spending something on the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, not just be a free rider on somebody else's mitzvah. But in actual fact, min adin, you don't even need to do that. So that's one way of understanding it. Or neimal, perhaps we could say differently, da mitzvah kol adam. In actual fact, everybody in the house has got a mitzvah to do Ner Chanukah. Ela debala bayit motzi kol b'nei veto. But the Baal HaBayit does it on behalf of everybody. He's being motzi them all. In terms of everybody's got a shaychus to this mitzvah, and the Baal HaBayit is doing it on their behalf. Avalim kein kasha. If that's the case, then we've got a problem. Pshita dechol mitzvah yachol latzi chavero. Generally speaking, with mitzvot, unless it's a mitzvah haguf, you can be motzi somebody else. So you can't, you know, you can't be motzi me and putting on tefillin, but you can be motzi me and putting up a marker round my roof. V'nafkamina lefi hanal b'mahadrin. So what's the nafkamina suggest between these two positions is with regard to the mahadrin. E kol echad matzi levarech. If every individual will make their own bracha. Dimitam shlichut. If it's that the balabait is the shaliach of every individual in Kein HaMahadrin, Ein Mechavdin Lahotzi, then presumably with Mahadrin, he's not functioning as Shaliach. V'rashai kol echad levarech, and everybody could say their own bracha. Avali ha-mitzvah rak al ha-bayit, v'ein sarich kavana lahotzi. But if the mitzvah is just on the bayit, okay, and you're not being motzi everybody else, Im Kein ha-mitzvah hidur bilvad, eino yachol, if it's just a mitzvah of hidur, then you can't say a bracha. I'm not sure if you can say a bracha. Because it might be the kachtiknu. This is the this is the takana they made to do it this way. The gamzeh bichlal hamitzvah, the shayalach af bracha. It's part of the mitzvah that mahadrin everybody will light and say a bracha after einu mechuyav mikol makom shayach v'tzivanu k'dematzin b'chamaduchti. So this question is really: is it mitam shlichut the balabait is doing it, or is it that it's the balabait is doing because this is the cheftza on the house? Now there's going to be enough. So in any event, Sfat Emet seems to think that mitin mahadri you do say a bracha on hidul mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva Eger said you don't say a bracha on hidul mitzvah. The Sfat Emet says you do say a bracha on hidul mitzvah. That's if we're saying a bracha, you know, clearly we're saying bracha here on hidul mitzvah. This is hidul mitzvah. You're saying a bracha. It's not that you've disassociated yourself from the balabait. It's just you've extended that chiyuv, and nevertheless, you say a bracha. Now, the nafkaminas will be two nafkaminas. One is the case that Rabbi Akiva Eger's thinking, so talking about, that you realized halfway through lighting the candles on the eighth night you haven't said a bracha. Rabbi Akiva Eger said, but first you don't say a bracha. Whereas, according to the Sfat Emet, it seems that actually on Hidur Mitzvah, you can say a bracha. The other nafkamina would be, what if it's first night of Hanukkah, and I'm lighting Hanukkah candles on behalf of my family. We light one Hanukkah in my house, right? And I light it. And then later on in the evening, the grandparents show up, and they brought a nice, as I say to my son, oh, we've got this Hanukkah present for you. We've bought you your own Hanukkah. And so he wants to light his own candle. All right. Now, can he say a bracha on it or not? If we say like Rabbi Akiva Eger, then he can't. Because when he made the decision subconsciously that he wasn't going to light his own Hanukkah, that means he intended to be yotzei with the lighting of the balabayit. Whereas according to the Sfat Emet, it's different. According to the Sfat Emet, in Achinami he was yotzei with the balabayit. But now he wants to be mahadrin. He wants to be mahadrin. So it's like, oh, you know, I'm going to light candles as well. And mahadrin, you can say brachon. So that's that would be a nafkamina there. We won't look at it inside, but I've also brought you here from the Sefer Birkat Yom Tov. Birkat Yom Tov was written by Rabbi Rakov. Rabbi Rakov was the previous Rav of Gateshead. And he makes a suggestion as follows. He says that essentially, it's similar to the Sfat Emet, but again, developing it slightly differently. He says, originally, the chiyuv that Chazal gave of Ner Chanukah was the Chovat Chetza, meaning that every house needs to have a Ner Chanukah. What they did was they changed it. They said Mahadrin should shift it from being a Chovat Chetza to being a Chovat Gavra. That every individual has now got a mitzvah to do it. And therefore everybody, included in that, was that everybody will light their own menorah and everybody will say their own brachot. And he says that way you can also even understand that the balabait himself is being yotzei midin The Balabait is being Yotze Midin Mahadrin as well, because even for him it's shifted from being a Chovat Cheftza to a Chovat Gavra. So anyhow, that's a lot of Londas, because Lamaisa, you know, we all do what we do. We've got a few minutes left, so I wanted also to just look a little bit at the question of the Brachot on the Ner Chanukah. So based on the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Tafrei Shain Vav, So you say three brachot. So the first point of interest is the nusach in the Shulchan Aruch. The nusach in the Shulchan Aruch is Lahadik Ner Chanukah. Is there anybody who says that? Anybody says Lahadik Ner Chanukah?
Yes.
Or people say Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah? Okay, so some people say Ner Chanukah. I saw in the Rina Yisrael Siddur it says Lahadik Ner Chanukah. I think most Ashkenazi Siddurim say Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah says Bigmar v'chol ha'poskim ita Ner Shel Chanukah. Yeah, all the poskim say it should be Ner Shel Chanukah. The Kakat Amar Shal. Ach shekadav sheyomar Lahadik Shel Lachanukah b'mila achat. Lo Shel Chanukah shtei milot. I saw the Siddur Avodat Yisrael. It has that Shelach Hanukkah. It's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Gemara of Achol HaPoskin. Nobody says Ner Chanukah. Look in Maaseh Rav of the Gra. The Gra says, Nusach HaBracha, Hadlik Ner Chanukah. So, I'm sort of just surprised that Mishnah Berurah, you know, bypassed that. That's Achol HaPoskin say that you don't say Ner Chanukah, you say Ner Shel Chanukah, when the Gra says to say Ner Chanukah, and the Aruch HaShulchan also says that the minhag is to say Ner Chanukah. So maybe geographically, you know, Mr. Burr just wasn't aware that in Novgorod, White Russia, also they were saying Ner Chanukah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting from that perspective. So the Sha'arei Tshuva discusses why we've got this distinction. Sha'arei Tshuva and other Achronim.
Svat Emet, Nerot Chanukah.
Svat Emet?
Wouldn't he say Nerot?
Why? Based on the Lomdas we saw before?
Yeah.
No, because the mitzvah is Ner Chanukah. That's the Ikka mitzvah, it's Ner Chanukah.
One candle.
No, that's, in any event, so why, where do we get, what's the difference between Ner Chanukah, Ner Shel Chanukah? Or, the Sha'arei Tshuva points out with Shabbat, we always say Ner Shel Shabbat. That, so, it makes a couple of suggestions. One suggestion is that, on Shabbat, you can benefit from the candles, but on Chanukah you can't. So this is Ner Chanukah. It's only Chanukah. Ner Shel Shabbat implies that maybe you can benefit from it. Another suggestion made is that Ner Chanukah, Ner Shel Shabbat means it's Shel Shabbat. Shabbat has lots of mitzvot, one of which is Ner. So it's Ner Shel Shabbat. Shabbat is the main mitzvah, and there's subsidiary mitzvot. Whereas Chanukah, the only mitzvah is Ner. There's nothing else. So this is Ner Chanukah. That's the mitzvah. You can ask Kashas. I mean, okay. Now, Sif Bet. Look at Sif Bet. Sif Bet, Milel Rishon Ve'elach Mavarish Chstayim. Second night onwards, you like to say two brachot, Lahadlik, V'shas HaNisim. And the Rama says, Yivarech kol ha-brachot kodim sheyatchil lahadlik. You say all the brachot of el asiyatan. The Achronim point out, Mr. Brewer at the Taz point out, that's always with mitzvot, of el asiyatan. Now, again, we won't look at it inside, but you've got it here for reference. That's from Sefer HaRei Kodem. This is Rav Soloveitchik. That's, just if you look at the second paragraph, he says, look in the Hagat Maimoniot, Shevim Bim Sechet Sofrim, Shemavarachim Shech Yanu V'Shasa Nisim Lachar Hadlaka. According to Masechet Sofrim, you say Lahadlik Ner, you light, and then you say Shasa Nisim. And says, the Rama says not like that. So he wants to know what the Machloket is all about. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, there's no Machloket. Masechet Sofrim is so jumbled up, it's just an error. That's anybody who's learned Masechet Sofrim. It's very nice to learn Masechet Sofrim. But the gears are all over the place. That half of it doesn't make any sense. So you've got to use all the stuff at the bottom. What on earth is it? Words missing. It's one of my sektot katanot. It's the gears that I've got lost and everything. The Aragoshagan says, my sektot sofrim is all over the place. So if it says something which is so off the wall, it's off the wall, and it never meant that. In any event, that's Rav Soloveitchik accepts that I got my money, it's brought it. It must be right. Says, what's the debate about? Says, the debate is about the nature of the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. The Rama holds the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim is a bracha, Birkat HaMitzvah, on the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. In terms of, it's rare that we have two brachot on one mitzvah. Okay? If you have two brachot on one mitzvah, then it actually means that it's two mitzvot. So, I mean, we occasionally have two brachot on one mitzvah. And there's always this same lomdus will follow through in all these cases. So, for example, that's tefillin, you say two brachot, two mitzvot. Brit milah, we say two mitzvot. Okay? So, some say that one is on the milah, one is on the priya, one is on the milah, one is on the chinuch of the child, whatever it is. But two brachot indicate two mitzvot. So here, two brachot indicate two mitzvot. One a mitzvah of hadlaka, one a mitzvah of pirsum anes. That's a challenge, of course, because the brachon pirsum anes isn't ha-shekin yisharim mitzvot tav. That's generally speaking, brachot ha-mitzvah, ha-shekin yisharim mitzvot tav. You can say this is an exception. It's a brachot ha-mitzvah which doesn't say ha-shekin yisharim mitzvot tav. That, he says, is the view of the Rama. However, the Masechet Sofrim, and I got my moniot, understand it as a totally different bracha. They say it's a bracha, Birkat HaRe'iyah, Birkat HaShvach, that in response to something, you say this bracha. In terms of, I got a bracha of Lahanik Ner, when I say the bracha, well, when I light the candle, and then when I see the Ner, I respond, Baruch HaTav Shem Rekhim HaKham, She'as HaNishim La'avoteinu. Haraya, we spoke previously about a Birkat Haroa. If you're on police duty all night, you don't light candles, but when you see the candles, you say the bracha of Sha'as HaNisim. It's a Birkat HaShevach, Birkat HaRe'iyah. Birkat HaHodah, it's not Birkat HaRe'iyah, it's Birkat HaHodah, Birkat HaShevach. And therefore you say it afterwards. So, that he says in the name of Reb Chaim, what's the best way to do it? You can't do this on the first night, but all subsequent nights, say the bracha, the Hanuk Nesha Chanukah, light the first candle, then say the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, and then light the subsequent candles. And that way you tick all your boxes. If it's Birkat HaShvach, so then you've said it after you've seen the candle. If it's Birkat HaMitzvah, so you're still involved in the mitzvah. You can still say a bracha whilst you're involved in the mitzvah. And therefore it's shaykh to say it. Now, you might ask a kasher on that from the notion of not being able to say a bracha on his or mitzvah, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger. But you don't need to ask a kasher on Rav Soloveitchik from Rabbi Akiva Eger. They can be argued. That's a brisker chumrah, which some people have. So, this is just brisker, brisker chumrahs. So, this is the Montefiore Kollel, though. Yeah, do we want brisker chumrahs in the Montefiore Kollel? Oh, look in Sefer Keter Shem Tob. Keter Sefer Keter Shem Tob is Alex can give us the background to it.
Oh, 100 years.
Chacham Gagin, that's who was the Chacham of the Sfardim. I'm sure there's a picture of him downstairs in the hall at Lauderdale. That's Chacham Gagin was the Chacham in the early 20th century, and he wrote a Sefer Keter Shem Tob, listing all the minhagim of the Sfardim. It's very helpful because that's, as somebody in the S&B said to me, it's a bit hard to know sometimes what the authentic minhagim are of the Spanish and Portuguese congregation. It's dwindled numerically over the years. So see what is in Keter Shem Tob. Minhag London va Amsterdam, Shemadlik ha-chanukka, acha shebirech kol ha-gimul brachot b'layla ha-achat, v'shar leilot, Achashibirif Gimel of Habet Brachot. Uva Eretz Yisrael Ustam Vare Hamarav. Lahadlik Hashash Achashibirik Lahadlik Ne Chanukah. Uva Od Sholeik Umadlik Mavarech Habrachot Acharonot. So it's not just, it wasn't invented by the briskers, this. Well, since it was known from Eretz Yisrael and Arei Hamarav, I don't know what the stam is, that's, but it was known from all these places as a minhag. And Lichora, even though he doesn't bring in the footnotes where he tries to explain it, he doesn't bring this lomdus down. And he says it's a difficult minhag to understand, whatever, and he tries to make an explanation. But clearly it's a minhag that actually did exist. It's also worth noting that Rav Soloveitchik also mentioned another minhag of Reb Chaim. That's because Reb Chaim held that Esher maybe Birkat Shas HaNisim is a Birkat HaShevach. That's what's mashma from Masechet Sofrim. So as soon as you see the Ner Chanukah, you have to say it as a Birkat HaShevach. So oh, you're coming home from shul at night, and you see the Ner Chanukah in somebody's window. Oh, mitzvah b'shata, chaviva mitzvah b'shata, you need to say the bracha. And then when you get home, you can't say the bracha any longer when you're lighting. But surely it would be better to misadir all the brachot when lighting. So Reb Chaim, he says, used to walk home from shul, head down, that's looking at the floor, so he wouldn't see in anybody's window, and so when he gets home, he can say the bracha of Shas HaNisim on his light.
Isn't that Rosh
Hashanah
for a bit?
Nobody looks at the other people will look. Just Reb Chaim didn't look. Other people in Brisk looked.